Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the third installment, and final for now, of Introduction to Midrash. We'll be hopefully discussing a little bit about some of the lesser-known Midrashim, namely Seder Olam, as well as Avot Rabbi Natan. So let's start off with Seder Olam. So Seder Olam, so as the name implies, is all about the order of the world, meaning the order of events starting from creation and then continuing on, it goes through all the way until the time of the Rekach Baravon. So the interesting thing about this is that it's a, and as far as we know when it was written, we'll go through some of the sources about that in a little bit. But the interesting is that it's not a standalone work. It only makes sense if you also have, if you know very well that Chumash exists, that Tanakh exists, and as well as basic, Jewish history to the time period. Because if you don't have that and you start trying to read it, it will make zero sense. So the reason why it's important to know what it is because typically when there's a chronology mentioned in the Gemara or in Chazal, the standard default is Seder Olam. And in fact, if you were to say the year, which is now 5782, so you'd be saying that based on the chronology of Seder Olam. As far as the exact technical calculation for how that works out, we'll not be discussing that this evening because that's a different topic. But if you're curious, we have time at the end, I'll can go through some of the more technical aspects of it or of other time controversies that have occurred over the centuries. So as far as if somebody wants to learn more about it, so again, there's a critical edition by Professor Chaim Lukowski, who also has his doctorate. So he's the main person who writes in Seder Olam. So if anybody's interested in reading more about Seder Olam in general, he's your man. Everything written in the last, I think, 40 years by him pretty much. So let's get to it. So let's first see. So we say that, I said pretty clearly that Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta is the one who wrote Seder Olam. So why do I think that? So the answer is because of the Gemara in Yevamot, where Rabbi Yochanan says, Man, Tana, Seder Olam, Rabbi Yossi. Right? Gemara in Yevamot is pretty straightforward. Who is the one who taught Seder Olam? So Gemara there says it's Rabbi Yossi. So open, shut case. Therefore, it's all about Rabbi Yossi. So the only problem with that is that's not the only source. So also, this is the Rashbam quoting Gemara in Sanhedrin. So there he quotes and it says, here it's listing what is the general Stam. So oftentimes in Mishnah, Tosefta, we mentioned Sifrei and Sifra previous weeks. Great Mishnah Halacha. The question is, so who's the one who's normally talking? So I mentioned that generally the ones that throughout that in all the cases, or most of the ones that we had to follow in the end that survived are from the school of Rabbi Akiva, the halachic works. So it makes sense that, so who's the, if you don't know, you read a mission, you don't know who's the person saying it. So here Rashbam is saying that it is actually, if you don't know, it's Rabbi Meir. And if they're reading something in Sifra and it has no name, that's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And if it says Rabbi Shimon, so is that going to be? That's going to be Rabbi Shimon. It says by Stam Seder Olam Rabbi Yossi. And if it's simply, and when it's unattributed in Seder Olam, then it's Rabbi Yossi speaking. So this is different than before, because it's not that everything is said by, that the whole thing was written by Rabbi Yossi, it's just that he's the predominant person within, or perhaps he's the only the editor, not necessarily the writer of the whole thing, kind of like a Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Is a compiler of the Mishnah, but not the actual writer of the Mishnah. So there are those who report, I think, Dr. Ratner, who did the edition in about 100 years ago of Seder Olam. So he was convinced that it's the first Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that this statement here of Man Tana Seder Olam Rabbi Yossi really meant that Stam Tana Rabbi Yossi, which meant that Rabbi Yochanan, who's later than, again, Rabbi Yochanan, who's a Amora, supposed to Rabbi Yossi was a Tana, so that means that it was compiled by Rabbi Yochanan, not by Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Chaim Lukowski, as well as many others, are more inclined towards the simple understanding of the Gemara in Yevamot, as well as the general consensus of it being done by Rabbi Yossi, meaning being done around the same time as the Mishnah was being written in 160 CE or so. And also, therefore, it also indicates that. So yes, there are times you look into Seder Olam, and there are later rabbis added in. So that's simply a, reality of being copied over is that copyists aren't always so keen on keeping the exact original form, and they added in some additions, such as, so X rabbi agrees with Rabbi Yossi, so we're gonna put his name in here. And then that's how those all crept in. But really, it's done by Rabbi Yossi, and he's the one who will be followed. So as far as the, to take a little bit look at Seder Olam, so I would like to take a look at one passage that's relevant to our current time period, meaning what were the Jews doing several thousand years ago when they were in the desert at this time? So a lot of times it's talking about lists, let's say, of the years, right? Cataloging, from creation going on forward. But sometimes it also, specifically when it comes to Torah, most frequently, it'll try and arrange the dates. Because a lot of times in the Torah, you'll have just different psukim that have dates that when you look at it, take a step back, and you realize that they all overlap to some degree, and you're not sure where that actually goes. So let's take a look here. So on the right is the way to, if you would show up on, if you're somebody to open the book inside. And here's where I try to break it down on the left into paragraphs that would be a little more sensible. So in general, there are 30 gates to Seder Olam, generally divided into thirds. First 10, similar to the way that Mishnah would have, they have 30, often broken down the same way. So the first 10 generally go until, I'm blanking on when they go to. Point being is that they go to, I believe, until they get to the land of Israel. So the first 10, the second 10 are go midway through by it Rishon, not finna all the way through. And then the last 10 go through the end, go through till the time of Rokachma. But it's not particularly specifically just that. So that's the numbers or my chapters. But if you were to take a look and open one up, it's, as you'll see, it's not very easy to work with. It's a little messy. Right, so here I gave you in the middle of chapter 5, right towards the end. This is like the last chunk in chapter 5, Seder Olam. So you'll note that it requires a lot of explanation. And it also only makes sense if you happen to have your Chumash out in front of you. If not, you're reading it and you're like, I don't know what's going on here. It starts basically from Elim, the travel to Alush, as it says, quoting from the Tzukim. And then again, there's a quotation. And you also know there's a slight interpolation there for Lalush, but again, that's just that's not correct. That's not a pasuk. So that's the first thing. Okay, so they're there. Okay, doesn't really matter, just the chronological date. And then we see B'chamisha Asar Yom Machodesh Hasheni. Let's say Tom, Eretz Mitzrayim. Then we say that, when is this? This is it. So the Pesukim say this is on the 15th of the second month. So that means the 15th of Iyar. So we're currently, I believe, on the 25th of Iyar. So we will not, so, but again, so this is a little over a week ago. So that's when that's occurring. And then it mentions, interestingly enough, right, so again, quoting the pasuk from Shemot. So again, we had the first half and the second half of it, and it says "Vechala b'Shabbat Haya," saying what day of the week it was. It was on Sunday. Right, back then they didn't use the terms Sunday, Monday, etc., because those are actually based on pagan deities. So that's why generally we would not use those titles, but using them now just for the sake of great convenience, because saying on the first day of the week, the second day of the week is more confusing for people. So. Anyhow, so again, it was the first day of the week. And so therefore we learned that on Rosh Chodesh, Iyar was also on the first day of the week. And furthermore, we have learned, you'll see, so for this being a chronology work, right, or a chronography, meaning a organized history, So there's a lot of other things added in here too. It's like, okay, so, and it's not just saying what time this event happened. It's like, oh, by the way, in case you're wondering, like, you know, what this is useful for, it's also that we also now know that the food they left with Egypt lasted 30 days. So you don't need to say that. You can only say that all of a sudden Jews start grumbling after 30 days just because they got tired after a month of being in the desert. But here it's giving a plausible explanation for why they're complaining while at the same time giving a solution. Then you'll note that also things that also are not necessarily clear under the Sukkim of what happens when in terms of the Slav versus the Man. So it says, Ubo Bayom, that's the very day they ran out of food. It's the day they complained. Again, that's not listed in Seder Olam, but if you're reading some Sukkim, you know that's what leads up before the Jews get the Man or the Slav, the pheasants. They only get it after complaining, so that's what caused the complaints, because they all ran out of food, justifiably so. And then that evening, that evening was when they had the slav. In the morning, they're told to go collect the man. And also, Shabbat. And also, at that place, Alush, is where they also received the mitzvah of Shabbat. Right, that's what Parsha Man was given. And that's where they received Shabbos. So also worthy of note is that this is clearly indicating that this is opinion of Rabbi Yossi, as well as not other opinions of the Gemara, because according to other opinions of the Gemara, as well as the Midrash, so where was Shabbos given? Anybody know? Go for it. Unmute and say it.
Mara, but they named it Mara, so I was just about to read ahead and see if, because maybe they renamed Alush Mara.
So Mara's earlier.
Oh, okay. That would
But Mara's a different
kind
location, right?
of. Oh, okay.
There's another we
Do
mentioned.
we know the initial name of Mara? Is that the same as Rephidim?
That's later.
That's
We'll go
later.
through later. Is
So,
it
do we know what Mara was called before they named it that because of the events that took place there?
a random spot in the desert?
Got it.
I believe. I can look that up, but I believe it's simply anonymous. One
But
second.
in the narrative, that's earlier than when they go to from Aileen to others.
Correct. It was definitely earlier in the narrative. That is for sure. I believe that was Mara was in. One second. Quickly doing a quick search. Apologize. I will have it for you in a second. And there we go. Yeah, that was the previous chapter. That was chapter 15, 23, within there in Mara. So it's before the verse we have of them traveling to Elim, and before, so it's two stops earlier. So then those are two very different times to get Shabbos. So, as in, depending on what you would say for when you get Shabbos, it'll also affect what you view in terms of the preparations for Shavuot, and when Shavuot is, what did happen on Shabbos or not, would also be dependent on did they have Shabbos yet, when was Shabbos, when was that given, would also be relevant. But here, the Shita here, the Seder Olam, it's clearly not. So in addition to being pornography, it also teaches you other things too. And you can tell that, again, it's the default, but also clearly not every Tana agrees with this, because we know that there, as Chai correctly mentioned, what didn't we receive Shabbos at Mara? So the Psukim are pretty clear that it was given at given here at Alush. It's just that we're all well familiar with Rashi quoting that they were initially given it at Mara. So yeah, so one of them is so here, ironically, this Midrash is actually giving Pshat. So whereas the what you think is Pshat is actually Midrash. I know it's confusing, but so again, what you could take for the what do you take from the fact that it's out of order, and you know when and why would you want to have it earlier versus later? So that's a different story. For more on that, I hope everybody here is going to be at the Bayit on Shavuot. I mean, from Shabbos into Shavuot, because I'll be speaking about exactly that then. If you are in the area, feel free to stop by. If you're not, I can tell you that. I mean, it's based on a Shir Berurim early tag. If you'd like me to send you a link to that, I can send you a link to that as well. Okay. So continuing on in terms of the chronology here. So that's one thing to point out is that again, so it was in here, so that was one thing there. And then it says, Chenemar. So the way you knew is that that's when they observed the first Shabbos is because, well, the Psukim say that they rested on the seventh day, that right? They Sabbathed on the seventh. So they have their Shabbos. And then we have on the Bechad v'Shabbat the following day, on the Chopet B'Yar. I know it's not quite Chopet B'Yar, but it's close. So that's when they traveled. Nasu me'alush u'ba'ul refidim. That's when they left Alush and arrived at Refidim. V'sham netna lehem ha-be'er. And that's where they received the Be'er. Anybody know what the Be'er is? So the Be'er is the well of Miriam, colloquially referred to as the well of Miriam. It is when Moshe is told to hit the rock. As opposed to the next time when he's to speak the rock, this time when he's told to hit it and get water for the nation. And that's also where they ended up having the battle with Amalek, also this time period. And then after Amalek, tied from behind, and then they fought back against Amalek. And then they observed their second Shabbos. V'shamas v'shabbat sh'niha. Nasum refidim, uva'u lehem l'mibar Sinai, umatzu alav anonei kavod. And that's when they finally went from refidim and then went to the Sinai desert, the Sinai wilderness. And that's when they finally saw the anonei kavod. They saw that God is waiting on top of the mountain. Okay, and then it explains more that kol chamisha reyamim, ha'moshe alav l'rosh ahar, v'yared u'magid la'am et yivrei ha'makom. So this thing, the time period of waiting is 5 days prior. Rashi has a different counting, and for more on that, see Rashi Parshas Yitro for how to let it determine how the dates work. Again, different opinions amongst the Midrashim on how exactly that timing works. But what everybody agrees upon, assuming that you are a Pharisee, meaning you are from the rabbinic tradition, is the following line. That is, Bashlishi, meaning in the third month, Bishishal Chodesh, right, on the sixth of Sivan, Natnu Lahem Aseret HaDibrot. That was the day that we received the Torah, the Yom HaShabbat Haya. And not only that, but it also was on Shabbos. So, ways that we know that is definitively proving that it is from opinion of Chazal, and is that what, and meaning this work is clearly a rabbinic work, beyond the already mentioned things that we've spoken about, is also the debate as to when Shavuot was. So the rabbinic tradition that we follow, and it's correct, obviously, is that as proven from here when we go through the Pesukim and the Shabbos, that the Shabbatot being mentioned, as well as the actual dates, that when you count it, you're like, okay, this Shabbos, that Shabbos, and then 5 days or 6 days, depending on how you're going to figure that out, in terms of the preparation for Matan Torah, and then it's time for Matan Torah, and of course, Matan Torah will be given on the Shabbos, because there's no better day to symbolize the first mitzvah the Jews properly do after the Egypt is the mitzvah of Shabbos. So it would make sense that would be when it is. But if you happen to have been from a different sect, let's say there's another chronography that we're not going to go into now. I'll talk about it outside, simply because going into it would be run out of time. And I want to make sure also get to Avot Rabbi Natan. So there's also called the Book of Jubilees, which is also from the sect. This is from a little bit earlier historically. From the also known as the Damascus document. It is from the first century or so BCE. So again, so compiled that a little bit earlier, the Book of Jubilees. So that had been done by somebody who's a Sadducee of some sort. They're a Sadducee or an Essene. The Book of Jubilees, known as the Damascus document. It is canonical by the Ethiopian Church. Viewed as canonical. Nobody else is as canonical. But they actually have it, and it pretty much is the exact same thing as what they've actually found copies of it from Qumran, which is why we know when it's dated from and who wrote it, more or less. But again, that's not a Pharisaic work, and that also is a separate work that pretends that it was given by Moshe when it definitely wasn't, because Moshe Rabbeinu did not give a work that detailed history through the time of the end of the second Beit HaMikdash. Do not give that to us at Har-Sinai, as I'm sure we can all realize why that's absurd. But that's what they believe. That is what the Book of Jubilees is. But again, they also have that separate thing, and therein, Shavuot would be on the 15th of the month. It could not be on a Shabbos because the way they have their holidays fall out, you could never have a Yom Tov fall out on Shabbos. So several things that are there. For more, if you want to hear more about that, I'm happy to give you more about the Sadducee, Pharisee, and debates, but that will we have to leave. But again, if you're interested in hearing that at some point in the summer, let me know. I'm happy to explain more about the Sect Wars, if you want. Let me know. So that is Seder Olam. Again, the chronography, meaning the organization of events historically, not just like of history, but also for interpretation. And that, again, by Rabbi Yossi, that is Seder Olam. Again, and the default utilized by Rashi and the Gemara. And the default, if you're, we currently count according to the count of Seder Olam. Okay. Next, I'd like to discuss Avot Rabbi Natan. So hopefully everybody here is familiar with Pirkei Avot. All of it translated as Ethics of Our Fathers, but not necessarily the case. I heard from Professor Barry Levy that actually it might not necessarily mean Ethics of Your Fathers. It might just mean paragraphs or teachings and all being, because Pirkei can mean chapters, and Avot, in addition to meaning our forefathers, can also mean simply, let's say, the Arba Avot Nezikin, the four chief categories of damage. So it could simply be, it could be something else. But either way, it's a, again, Pirkei Avot is a collection of wisdom, teachings, and sayings, and Torah, of, as well as the chain of the Torah from Har Sinai until today. And so that is what that's what Pirkei Avot starts with, and then it goes then it lists the chain, and then it goes through what various Tanaitic sources, Tanaim's sayings. For more on all of Pirkei Avot and why we say it during Shavuot, I'm sure there are shiurim on the topic that will be given on Shavuot, or I think have been given already. But as far as the why we should particularly read Pirkei Avot in this time period, but that is not the main focus of my time. For more on that, I'm sure you'll hear more about that at, if you go to the Pirkei Avot cheer on Shabbos before Menchamar, that is every week from now till the Chinese class. So for more on that, you'll go to the Pirkei Avot cheer. But I want to talk a little bit about, not just about Pirkei Avot, but about Avot Rabbi Natan. So why am I calling it a Midrash? So one thing is that it is an expanded version of the Mishnah, right? It is not simply as we'll see, we'll go through together ourselves. I'll show you a example of the actual Mishnah that we have, but then the two versions of the Avot Rabbi Natan and how they're not really the same as what we have and how they definitely add things. So again, it's often called the Gemara or the Tosefta Pirkei Avot. Depends on who's quoting it. Good, feel free. Come on in.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we're currently, as you see, we're at talking about Avot Rabbi Natan. Somebody arrived in person. So, Miller, if you'd like to join. Yes, and most people are online.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, so, okay, so. Okay, so you're welcome to grab a seat and listen. So we're discussing, so, all right. So we are discussing Avot Rabbi Natan, right? So again, it's an expanded version of Pirkei Avot. Sometimes looks kind of like Gemara. Sometimes it looks more like the rest of Midrash does. So we'll take a look at that. So it's often called one of the Pesachot Ketanot, the minor tractates, but it's actually historically probably later than the other minor tractates, just because of the people being quoted in it lived later, so therefore it has to be later. So most likely was written later on, sometime between the 7th and 10th century, meaning this is in the time of the early Gaonim, but exactly when we're not entirely sure. Sometimes it's attributed to Rabbi Natan, but it's because he's the first one person quoted. But we know it can't be him because, because there's people quoted later than him, and therefore he can't have compiled it. You can't quote people who don't live for a century after you live. It doesn't work. So interesting thing to note is that there's actually two versions of Avot Rabbi Natan, which originally probably was one version, but over time it tended to split. And that's published by Solomon Schefter. It may be familiar with from the fact that he was very Solomon Schefter is known for his involvement with the founding of JTS and the conservative movement in North America. Also very, did a lot of good scholarly work in terms of manuscripts and the like. And we'll leave it at that. And that's why he's, Selma Schaffner is the default name, one of the default names for a school in the conservative movement. Okay, so he published, did excellent work in terms of compiling and showing the two different versions of Avot Rabbi Natan. So, and as far as how they correspond, so it's not one-to-one, rather it's divided interestingly. So it's actually, the numbers go between, as you see here, so chapters 1 to 11 of Nusach Aleph correspond to, of Nusach A, 1 to 23 of Nusach B, correspond to the first chapter with dealing with Zugot. But to the chapters 12 to 19 of the Devar Natan, as well as 20 of Aleph, as well as 24 to 29 of B, correspond to the second half of the first chapter and begin chapter 2, dealing with Hillel, Shammai, Yocham, and Zakkai and their students. Then chapters 20 to 30 of the first one, as well as 30 to 35 of the second one, correspond to chapters 3 to 4. And it's basically a separate Mishnah collection that's not no longer it's no longer tied to the strict organized this those the first two chapters, which are we have the teacher and the student and the sayings of the teacher, the teacher saying to the student, and that formula very very organized that form dissolves. We get to the third and fourth chapters where Pirkei Avot itself becomes a collection of statements no longer specifically following the chain of the of smicha rabbinic chain. Last but not least, so again, chapters 31 to 41 of the first version, and chapters 36 to 48 correspond to chapter 5. And you know, I don't say chapter 6, because chapter 6 is an added on later. Pirkei Avot. For more on that, I'm sure it'll be spoken about during the week 6 of the Pirkei Avot segment. So stay tuned for that. Yeah, not by me, but somebody else will talk about it. So, okay. So that is, again, a little bit of the basics of the structure of Avot Rabbi Natan. But we didn't come here to simply learn about structures. We came here to actually learn some midrashim. So let's take a look. So first, let's start with this coming Shabbat. We're going to be doing the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avot. So I figure we can get a jump start now. So that way we'll be able to be a little more prepared when we try to say between for the shiur this coming Shabbos, or if you're doing it yourself between them tomorrow, it'll also hopefully help with that as well. So I'll read the Hebrew and then the English, and then with minimal commentary. If you have any questions, anything's unclear, let me know, and then we'll go on to the commentaries of Avot Rabbi Natan. So, Basar Mamarot Nivra Olam, 10 utterances, the world was created. Multiple of them are. And what would you have thought to say? V'halo b'mamar echad yokoli barot. Couldn't the world have been created simply God saying, world, be, and that's it? Why did God need to say so many times? And God said, let there be this, let there be that. Like, what? Why all that? So, Eloi pare min ha'rasha'im shema abdin et olam shivra basar mamarot. Rather, in order to better exact punishment against those who, the wicked ones who destroy the world, which have been created with 10 utterances. L'tein sachar tovim latov, sorry. L'tein sachar tov latzadikim shema kaimin et olam shivra basar mamarot. So, on the one hand, the reason why is in order to tenfold the punishments and rewards for individuals who do good or do badly in the world. So the reason why there's 10 phrases and utterances is so that way to strengthen the concept of reward and punishment in this world. Okay, right, not so crazy. Right, makes sense. 10, that's nice. So now we'll take a look at the two different installments and we'll see what's different about that. So one thing to point out is the fact that, well, they are different. We'll note that there's additions in the middle here, and certain parts are not even quoted. So let's take a look. So this looks like, again, it's like an expanded version. Again, it's not quite a Gemara because, you know, Gemara, you're expecting, you know, all those nice words to say that, oh, we're quoting something else. or there's a real question. It's like somewhere like quasi in between, which is unclear. So it starts off looking the same. So then it's like, wait, then it's saying, what is the... So then you'll note the question, instead of being, couldn't God have said it at once, rather instead it changes to, why did the people of the world need it? So before, where it simply seemed pretty weak, here we strengthen it a lot, right? Where it does not just say, oh, you know, general war and punishment, here we're given specific things. But if you do a mitzvah, you follow, you observe a Shabbos, you have actually, or you save one soul, then it's as if you have saved and upheld the entirety of the world. And conversely, so that's the strengthening of the positive, of the, and then there's the strengthening of the bad as well. V'kol over, abeira, achat, v'kol machal, shabbat, achat, v'kol ma'ab, nefesh, achat, malin, alav, kilu, ibeid, olam, malay. Sheniv, Rabbi Sarmam, wrote, but on the other hand, if you were to kill anybody or do anything wrong or fall of a late one Shabbos, the exact opposite will be true. And then that's learned out from Shkemet Sinu B'Kayin, Shaharag and Hevel Achiv. And you note that we're quoting a pasuk as a source, which is not really a source because it's meant midrashically. Because we don't act, because as I'm sure people know, that we do not punish you as if for when you do a single sin, it is not as bad as if you have destroyed the world. So for all those who are seeking to bring the apocalypse, you will be punished far more harshly if we can figure out how to judge you for that thing you did wrong. So it said, kol demei achicha, why I say kol demei achicha, shevet adam. So rather means echad shevet damim, rabim, neemar, ela, because then he only killed one person, why I say demei. Amlamed shadam banav uvnei vanav, kol totav atzav kol adarot, shadidin latse mimenu kulam hayu omdim. So, rather, all of these various, all the future descendants will be crying out against the individual, and therefore, it is if they, it is equivalent to being in a full world. You may have noted that these sayings may sound familiar because it's also quote. These are also taken from the Gemara and from Midrash and quoted by Rashi. So you see here, it is it appears to be some sort of compilation of things related to, of sayings related to this particular, again, it fits quite well, it makes perfect sense, but it's also definitely diverging from the simple understanding of the text or from the simple version that we had, because what we had was not, did not have mentionings of anything specific, it simply was a general, again, see here, it was a general, you know, punishment and reward. And here we got very specific as to even one action, right? Highlighting an aveira, a Shabbos, and then bringing in the concept of murder as the proof again. So that is, yeah, in a different direction. So far, clear? Okay. So next I'd like to continue on is that it, two on the same vein. So now we have quoting a nut. So then again, that was seemingly the Stam, right? No, again, notice no rabbi's name being quoted. But then we get to one where here that it is. Nechemya Omer, Nain Shadam Echad Shakol Kenegad Kol Maaseh Bereishit. And now we're quoting other midrashim. Again, this is clearly not in. It's not in Pirkei Avot, but it's elsewhere. So yeah, for full citations, if you view the critical edition of Pirkei Avot, it'll have all the cross references. But for now, we will simply go the way I take it as it is. So how do you know that that's the case, that a person is cursed by the whole world? Also, note that we already explained this earlier, so you don't need to say it again, but we're saying it again. Because before we compare to Kaim, we have a different one. Right, so you see the word toldot is both by Adam Rishon as well as by when God creates the world. So Mal halan briyavas, yeah, alkan briyavas, yeah. Just like by creation, it's creation of the world. Here too, by when it's saying the descendants of Adam, it's also creation of the world. Leisher akrosh barchu called the rosh adidim let's say mimenu kilu hainam din fanav. So Adam saw all future generations coming from him. So therefore, that would mean that if you were to kill, that means when Cain killed Hevel, that therefore all those people in the future for all eternity, right? Adam knew they existed, and now they're all no longer. V'yesh omrim lo harau el tzadikim bilvad, shenemar kol hakatuv l'chayim b'Yerushalayim. Or maybe only just the righteous ones, but that's a separate discussion as far as the, are you liable for if you pre-killed somebody before they're going to be wicked. For more on that, so the reason why the series is going to be ending is because we're going to be starting a series in the shul called Real Life or Real Life, which will be a series of people might remember previous years where the Bible will have various rabbis will be given, myself included, depending on the week. Look at the bulletin for the flyer. I'll present it when I get the copy of it. Where again we'll be going through movies and things you can learn. So I'll be going through determinism and addressing that question as part of the year. So again, that's future sneak peek trailer, so to speak. Okay. So now that's Rabbi Nechemya had to add on the Mishnah from Birkiyavo. Now we have Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha adding on. Again, is it him adding on? Not necessarily, because also realizing the fact that he's a Tana and quoted, therefore he can't be saying it. So Omer Harehu Omer, Galmi Ruinech Al Val Sifrecha, your eyes are from substance, they fall in your book. Well, Mate, Jerkush, Proclaim Dem Rishon, Dor, Manigav, Dor, Nviav, Dor, Yurav, Dor, Pashav, Dor, Chatidav, Dor, Plone, Tiliot, Melech, Plone, Dor, Melech, Tiliot, Chazam, Plone. So here we have just an expanded version of what it means to the extent of the detail of the worlds that existed that were destroyed. Is it simply a theoretical, a person's equivalent to its own world in a metaphorical sense? But Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is following along the lines of what Rabbi Chaim had said. It seems like it's not just a metaphorical world, right, or figurative potential future world to say, no, this world actually existed. And you just made that whole future world actually collapse. For more on how that works in parallel universes and if they would have existed or not, please see comic books or time travel movies. Both cover the topic extensively, primarily Flash, if you want to know more about the weird for DC. For Marvel, I mean, I don't remember which comic book does it the most. I apologize. I'll have to do some research. Okay, so that was Nusach Aleph. So we thought Nusach Aleph was a emphasis again on the expansion of the original Mishnah. In terms of the what it means to when you in terms of both for good and for bad, as far as the extent of which you are building up or destroying the world when you do mitzvot or don't do mitzvot, and the degree at which they strengthened it with their stories and saying how really each individual sin or removal of a person from the world is equivalent to the full world. So that was the what was clear from Nusach Aleph. Now let's take a look at Nusach Bet. Okay, so again, you'll note the numbers are slightly off, but also it makes sense. So here now, let's take a look at this one. So you'll see it's a So we'll see that it goes a little bit of a different direction. So first, let's see if the what is the goal? So we'll see that also rephrases the Mishnah a little bit. Basara mamarot nivra haolam matzumud lamar v'halov mamar echad yechali barot. Again, pretty much more faithful copying of the actual Mishnah than was done in Nusach Aleph. Ali parim minoshim shavadet olam. But notice here we only actually have one side being emphasized, right? Notice it's only talking about the wicked. No mention of the positive. And also a note that what do they say? Conveniently enough, what does Nusach Bet add? You asked what 10 utterances, and here they are. So I did not list them all because, well, it's a list and I didn't really want to translate a list of Sukkim. But again, here in the Hebrew, you see God said, let there be light, let there be the firmament. God says, may the waters gather. The God says, may the land greenify or grassify. I don't know. Grass sprout from earth. Okay. And God says, may there be the celestial bodies. Sun, moon, and stars. May the water give forth, meaning the fish. Then God also says to see how arats. Right, that's back to the land, and then God said Vermokim, Hinatati, right, and that's one leading to the creation of animals. Then we have Elohim Nasa Adam, then God says, I shall make man. And finally, when God decided to Vayomer Elohim Otov Yodam Odo, it is not good for man to be alone, and created woman. Right? So then those are the 10 sayings. And then you'll see. So, what is here to discuss? Rabbi Yirmiyah Hava Makayim VaYivra Elokim Metataninim. So Rabbi Yirmiyah would instead put in, and God created the sea serpents, the Gorea Lotov Hayot, and then he would remove. It is not good for men to be alone. Because he would say that that's not considered to be separate creation. As to why, that's a separate story. If you're curious, I can answer it after 9:30. So, then what is that? Well, then it goes on. It says, so what did everybody need to be there for? Again, similar phrase from before. So you'll note here that if anybody were to have removed, kill it, similar to what we mentioned in Nusach Aleph, that if anybody were to take somebody's life, it is if they destroyed the whole world. And the Chol Mekayim Nefesh Achad, whoever upholds one life, Malei Ketuv Kilu Kayim Olam Malei. And if you leave it, and if you save somebody's life, as if you kept the whole world up and supported it. So here you'll know that again, the focus here is not on the explaining is the world existing or not, and how much did it to the extent. It's simply saying much simpler than we had in the Nusach Aleph, rather saying that. Important to save people's lives. And the hook here is that that statement only fits according to Yirmiyah, but it would not fit according to the Stam of the Avot Rabbi Natan. So would also lead to a right. So clearly, what exactly? So the interpretation of and the reworking of the Mishnah here is very different according to the Tverit Nistaot. Again, that they have similar phrases and they pull upon very similar points. They take in different directions because they appear to be different traditions that we had in a ways of interpreting Pirkei Avot. For instance, Rashi only had one of the Nuska. I can't remember which one. I'll have to look that up. This was on the Wikipedia page, so excuse me while I cheat and check. So I believe Rashi only had the... Rashi only had one of the versions. Rashi only had. Which one was it? Rashi only had version. Yeah, Rashi only had version A. And meanwhile, the Chochmei Sfarad, right, the various sages in Spain only had version B. You can prove by times when Rashi quotes Midrashim, he never quotes the Midrashim that are quoted by Tzvanatan and nowhere else that are from B, only from A. So again, that was work done by Solomon Schefter. So, but just pointing out that there were two different traditions of interpretation of Pirkei Avot at different times in history. Clearly different goals in mind and the different usages. And also forgot to mention the pun. That the reason why normally the normal terms you see in the Gemara for adding or removing are not Mekayim, that's not what you normally would say. You would say Lehosif or something like that. So the use of the word Mekayim is clearly a pun, play on words, just like so Mekayim, he is, upholds the the sea monsters, and in doing so leads to the question of Kol Makayim Nevechachap Yisrael Malal Kutuv Kilu Kiyam Olam Male. Notice the word Kayam there many, many times. It's clearly deliberately phrased that way for the sake of the parallel. Okay, so in terms of going back to the the chronology here, so you'll note here Avot Benatan. See, it's really long time scale here, right? Sometimes you notice going from the 200s or so all the way till the end of the 900s, because there are rabbis quoted therein from all of those. So, I was pointing on the wrong page. So you didn't see my pointer. You see it now? Yes. You see it goes from here. Sorry for the being in Hebrew. Just this is the chart. Again, it's going to be found online. Again, if you were to click through on the PowerPoint I sent out afterwards, it'll all be there. If you want to click through, also again, as I mentioned, the whole book of Avol Medrashim, Interpret Medrashim by Anat Reizel, is to be found online. In addition to being available for purchase from Michal Herzog. For many people here, it would probably be much faster to access it online. Ordering it from Israel might take, a month. But if you have time for that, it's an excellent book. I enjoyed it. So again, see the long range, because again, there are Tanaim quoted, right? So it could have been compiled around here, but it also quotes people from this whole time period. So there may be parts from here, might be parts from there. It really is a giant, little bit of a mess. As in general, all sort of stuff for Kriyavot, by the way, just because whenever anything is really popular, recopied, and it's not called the Torah, people make mistakes. Happens a lot in Siddurim also. There's a lot of mistakes in copying Siddurim because everybody wanted to have their own Siddur, and then they would proceed to copy it. And not everybody was copying it was as meticulous as their scribes are in copying over the Torah, and mistakes crept in. That's normal. It's fine, but that does lead to some confusion sometimes. Okay, so now I'd like to continue by summarizing what we've covered. So we went through a little bit about the Seder Olam, discussing how it's rabbinic chronography, organization of various events in Torah and in Torah Tanakh. Going all the way through the period of Bar Kokhba, how it doesn't really read as a standalone work. It only makes sense if you are if you have that as your little crib notes thing you're reading along with, while you were taking your notes on or reading along the rest of the Jewish works. Also that it's not necessarily nowadays you would take a look and open it. It's not really user friendly because it's great if you happen to be a Tana or somebody who happens to know and looked up all these various Sukkim and Midrashim prior to talking about it with the average individual. If you were to take a look at it and try to follow it, it would not be, easy to pick up. It's not, like a nice, clean chronology. It's just not organized the way a modern day person would have done it. Just fine. That's just the nature of it, of how it is. And we discussed a little bit about Avot Benatan, about how it's being in a rabbinic expansion of Pirkei Avot, about its, again, a little bit about its timing issues, some of the features, the fact that it kind of looks like the Gemara sometimes, but not quite, and how if you're looking for something good to say if you ever want to know more about Pirkei Avot, again, Avot Benatan is a good place to look. It'll have a lot. Always fascinating the manner in which you could trace the drashot they were given therein. So as far as, again, for wrapping up, this is for the series. So again, reminding everybody that everything can be found on YU Torah. I will email everybody if you're on the email list and you've been receiving my emails, then I will be emailing with the recordings at the end, as well as, if you follow through the YU Torah, you can also download all of the PDFs of the PowerPoints. As well, if you need anything else, please let me know. I'm happy to send it. And but before we actually end, it's also important to note, again, I'm not going to be joining in this next slide because I'm going to be going tomorrow when we finish. But for those who have not yet counted, we are currently in our time period, and I cannot be giving a shiur that at this time that started from before Shkia to after Shkia without mentioning that it is now proper time to count. So if you if you would like to count, again, Barakah is there on the screen. Hebrew or English, because always good to know the words you're saying in terms of the going into on the Omer, because if you don't know what it means, you might not be Yotzei. Get Barakah, you don't need to know. You can say that in Hebrew, even if you're not fully aware of the words, but for counting, some say you need to actually know how to count. So it's all there in front of you. And thank you.
Thank you, Chaim.
Thank you, Chaim.
Thank you.